Well, our message this morning then is Advent love. That's one of those words that we use a lot in our culture that obviously gets misused and misunderstood. But today we're going to focus a little bit on a specific kind of love. Do you love your house? A lot of you have moved up here and, you know, from the big city into God's country. Some of you, we wish you'd move back. No, but, you know, I know in the houses we've lived in and in the military, we've lived in a bunch, but our house, just the structure, this is our favorite house that we've ever lived in. Well, think about your house. Think about God's house. And I'll put that in quotes. The building that we worship in. I love this building. And Vic and, I was looking at the board out there with some of the history and just God's faithfulness. And so this structure, I love this house as well. But then put a capital H on that, God's house. Do you love God's house? Well, a little more in depth about what that is as we go. And so the big idea, our ultimate love, we've had this each of the Advent as we've gone through each of the Sundays, but today the characteristic is love. Our ultimate love has been realized in the first Advent. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. So it's realized, but it will culminate in the second when Jesus comes again. And so we lighted the angel's candle. The theme is the Annunciation of his coming, so Angel Gabriel going to Mary. The mood is praising God for the good news, and the songs we have sung, we've been praising, and then, of course, emphasizing love. And the banner is behold, and so we've heard that word now, so we'll tie all that in. But first of all, what kind of house am I talking about? Well, in 2 Samuel 7, that is what's known as the Davidic covenant, the covenant with David. Covenant's very important throughout Scripture. And so you think of the Mosaic covenant with Moses, the new covenant, but the Davidic covenant with David. And so that word house in that, just that chapter 7, if you were to count it up, appears some 15 times. And so you sort of have to pay attention. What house is God talking about? And so David, of course, initially wanted to build a physical house for God, because the Ark of the Covenant, you know, obviously God can't dwell in a human building, but to replace the tabernacle with an actual temple, the tabernacle and then the temple. So is it just about a physical temple? Well, God says no through Nathan. And so God goes on to talk about, I am talking about a house. I will build you a dynasty, a kingly, an eternal house, an eternal line, a kingdom, a throne. And so the presence is not a building. Ultimately, David, and like we read in Luke, where the greater son in the line, the genealogy of David, the presence of God is ultimately going to be in a person. Of course, the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're paying attention in verse 11, I emphasized, God says, he will make you, David, your line, a house. So I don't need you to build me a structure. I'm going to make out of you a royal line. And so what is David's house in Psalm 89 then? That Davidic covenant. So some of the words there, God's loving kindness, his chesed, his covenant loyalty to his people. And David in particular, despite how bad David messed up, right? We know his story. But yet a man after God's own heart and God's grace overcomes his sin. And so God's loving kindness, his mercy, and his faithfulness, promising a seed, a royal line, and a throne that will be eternal. Well, obviously, King David reigned for a while. He had sons, but he died. So that continuing line is that bigger house. And that brings us to the Christmas story. And if you're paying attention to the Annunciation, behold, said the angel Gabriel to Mary. And that's in Luke 1. And then in the Christmas story, a lot of times you'll get over to chapter 2, and sometimes even reading Luke chapter 3, the genealogy about where ultimately the humanity in the humanity Jesus Christ is of the line of David. So very important, that kingly line that God has established. And so that eternal throne for that greater son of David, that greater king, Jesus Christ. And if you, I like Mary's response, you know, the virgin, imagine the culture, you've heard messages on, you know, here she is a virgin and how she's pregnant. And of course, Joseph, wanting to do the right thing, but how, I mean, just imagine all that. But her response to something we can't conceive of, but she says, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." Sort of, Lord, amen, which means so be it, as you wish, Lord. So what a heart. And sometimes elsewhere you'll read about what's called the Magnificat, her basically prayer or poem of what a special, highly favored one. And so we do want to honor Mary. We don't worship her, of course, but she is the highly favored one, the mother of Jesus in his humanity. Well, then in Romans, we see what is then God's house today, that royal line, ultimately culminating in a Savior. What then is the house today? Well, as Paul is talking about, some of the words that were used, it's established by or in the gospel, the good news, something we announce. Behold, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he talks about it being, in the Old Testament, a mystery. And mystery means something that was not fully understood in the Old Testament, but all the prophetic scripture pointing forward through David, all the different prophecies fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so God's word, hidden in the old, revealed in the New Testament. So the mystery. So not a Agatha Christie mystery, but a mystery of what God is doing yet future, some thousand years future from David's day. And then Paul talks about it, this gospel, this good news, this establishment is manifest, made visible, and known by those prophetic scripture, ultimately the person and work of Christ. There's that greater son, there's that house, the eternal throne and kingdom and temple, the king, and how he, as the Savior, establishes his bride, the church. And so, in one sense, we are the house. What do I mean by that? Well, behold, our word for the day, the incarnation, the advent. Christ has come. The word became flesh. So behold, it starts with God's presence in a person. And so the love, our word for the day, the love of God, which in this case, God's love for us, for God so loved the world, God's love in sending a Savior. That's the foundation, folks. That's what it's all about. The reason for the season, all those bumper sticker sayings we have. But that's what Advent is. So it starts with God's love that we should behold. But then behold, because now we are a people in Christ Jesus, we are the church, not just a local family here, but the body of Christ worldwide, because the scripture calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so if you are a Christian, you are indwelt by God, the Holy Spirit. So we are a corporate gathering of the presence of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so in that prayer, the collect, one of the little phrases, please find in us, God, a mansion, a dwelling place prepared for himself. Well, it can be prepared for God because we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And so God's love for us should be reflected then. Behold, the love of God, our love for God, ought to then be reflected in our lives. And so when we talk about past messages, and we are going through the Big Ten Commandments, I commend that to you for the adult Bible study, but when Jesus asked about the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's those two reflections. Love of God, our responsibility to love God first, that vertical component. And because of that and his love for us, then we can love one another, our neighbor, as ourself. And so the idea of love, we as Christians ought to understand that much better than a world that just cheapens that word so much. And so as we were lighting the Advent candles, you know, I looked at John 3:16. For God so loved the world, a world of sin and darkness, that he gave, he sent, he provided a Savior, God the Son, his only begotten, which basically means the unique Son of God, that second member of the Trinity. God is becoming flesh, coming to be in that first Advent, the Lamb that will take away the sin of the world. And so the annunciation of the gospel, the good news about who Jesus is and what he has done. Folks, that is the ultimate love. So it's not us building a house. I mean, this is a nice building. And so what we do is important, of course. What we do is a reflection, ultimately, of what God has done. He has built a house, a royal line through David, up to and culminating in Jesus Christ, his eternal house, that royal dynasty, a Messiah, a Savior, who came for the first time at Advent, Christmas time, something, you know, that we will celebrate on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But that same Savior, that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is coming again to establish on earth a kingdom and a throne that will last 1,000 years and beyond. And so our loving response to that house, that truth, that vertical reality, our loving response should be, I would submit, like Mary, may we be the handmaiden of the Lord, loving God, living our lives, loving one another, this time of year, sharing that good news of Jesus Christ. Because we love the house, the Savior, and the small H house. We love one another. And you've all probably heard the house. Sometimes we in English use the word house for the physical structure. But when you add people, what does it become? A home. And so the personal aspect of what Christ has done. And so we, in our response, because of who we are in Christ, can truly say, home, sweet home. God's house reflected in his people. Our ultimate love has been realized in the first Advent and will culminate in the second. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your chesed, your covenant loyalty, reflected in biblical covenants. And today we especially focus on that covenant with David, that despite who he was, you loved him nonetheless, and his heart reflected your grace and your mercy. May we live our lives in such a way as well, as we remember your faithfulness, your house, the covenant, the seed, the throne, the kingdom that lasts forever. And so as we think of the birth, the nativity, baby Jesus, help us to ponder your great love for us and remember that he is that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and that he is coming again, and that we will be able to spend all eternity with you because of what he has done for us. Lord, that is love. Help us to love you. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.